Friday is Beis Iyyas. Tomorrow is the Shchedesh, tomorrow is Aleph Iyyas, Friday is Beis Iyyas. Beis Iyyas is the birthday of the Rebbe Marash, as I'm sure you guys know. And the Rem is associated with the birth of the Rebbe Marash is Teferes Rebbe Teferes, right? You have to be careful, by the way. For those of you who are counting Sfira with a bracha, like at this time of the evening, you shouldn't say what tonight's Sfira is, because then it becomes a shaila of making a bracha. So tomorrow, be sure that around 8 o'clock, you shouldn't say that it's Teferes Rebbe Teferes, because then you get into a halachic shaila. A small one, but a shaila nonetheless. Friday, Thursday night, Friday is the birthday of the Rebbe Marash. So I want to talk to you about the Rebbe Marash. Tell you some story about the Rebbe Marash. The Rebbe Marash was, of course, the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he was the Ben Zekunim, the youngest son of the Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek. What's that, the youngest son? The moment the Rebbe Marash was born, he inherited probably a dozen nieces and nephews. In other words, his brothers and sisters were married with children when he was born. The oldest of his children knew the Alter Rebbe well. He was born after the Histalkus of the Mittler Rebbe. The disparity of years between the oldest and the youngest of the Tzemach Tzedek's children was about 30 years. Maybe 31 or 32 years. Give you an idea how much younger the Rebbe Marash was than his siblings, than his brothers and his sisters. He's the only Rebbe who was born while his father was already a Rebbe. Verstehst? The only Rebbe who was born when his father was already a Rebbe was the Rebbe Marash. And there are, of course, many stories that surround the birth of the Rebbe Marash. It's indicated, it's implicit, that the Ibor, the pregnancy of the Rebbe Marash, was 12 months. Now that doesn't mean that his mother carried him for 12 months. That's biologically impossible. It means that his neshama had an ibur of Yudei's Chedesh. I suppose you guys have not learned Kabbalah, so you don't know this. But some neshamas have a very short ibur, a very short pregnancy, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Some neshamas have a very long pregnancy, like thank you, sir. Like Eliyahu HaNavi. Oh, you're wonderful. And the rule is that on a neshama that's a very short pregnancy, it means has a very small connection to Gashmias. And a neshama that's a very long year, but a very long pregnancy, has a very strong connection to Gashmias. The Rebbe Marash of all the Chabad Rebbes, he was the only one who part of his avodah was Gashmias. And Marash, for a period of time, lived very wealthy, and he was very, very involved in Gashmias, as I'll get to later on. And it's interesting that there's an indication, it doesn't say clearly, but there's an indication that the Rebbe Marash's Ibur was Yud Beis Chedesh, was 12 months. The other example of a neshama whose Ibur was Yud Beis Chedesh was Eliyahu HaNavi, which is why it says in Chassidus that his goof went Lamaila. Chassidus asks, Moshe Rabbeinu was a bigger tzaddik than Eliyahu HaNavi. So how come Moshe Rabbeinu's goof is in this world? And Eliyahu HaNavi's goof went Lamaila. So the explanation is, Eliyahu HaNavi's whole avodah involved his goof. So his guf was uplifted because his neshama had the ibur of Yud Beis Chedesh of 12 months, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's an indication that the Rebbe Marash's ibur was also Yud Beis Chedesh, which would explain why, of all the Chabad Rabbeim, he was the only one who part of his avoida as a Rebbe was Gashmias. Now, when the Rebbe Marash was born, it was a very, very big deal. The Rebbe had a baby. It doesn't happen every day that the Rebbe has a baby. And naturally, thousands of chassidim came to Lubavitch. The Marash was born, Beis Iyyas, Teferes Rebbe Teferes, Tav, Kuf, Tzadik, Dalet. Tav, Kuf, Tzadik, Dalet means 1834. Tzemach Tzadik became a Rebbe, Tav, Kuf, Peches, 1828. And this is approximately 6 years after. In any case, so many people came to the Bris, naturally. And it wasn't Stam Chassidim who came to the Bris, but the family alone, the Tzemach Tzedek's family was huge. His children all were married with children of their own. At least many of them were married with children of their own. The Tzemach Tzedek's family was Fatzweit. Tzemach Tzedek was very, very large. And all of them, at least most of them, lived in Lubavitch. and each one had their own home and their own shul, as I'll explain soon. And everyone came to the bris. One of the senior members at the bris, one of the people who was older at the bris, was the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek's uncle. Tzemach Tzedek had an uncle, his name was Chaim Avram. He was the Alter Rebbe's second son. For those who don't know, the Alter Rebbe had three sons and three daughters. The three daughters were, who knows? Vinaleya. His Tzemach Tzedek's, the Alter Rebbe's daughters. This is the Mittel Rebbe's daughters. The Alter Rebbe had three daughters. Freida, Dvera Leia, and Rochel. The Alter Rebbe had three sons. The oldest was the Mittel Rebbe, the Iber. The second was the Chaim Avraham. He was named after the Mizrach the Malach, the Magid's son. The Alter Rebbe called him Chaim Avraham because they want to mention Nishke Malach, that's what he said. And the third, the youngest, was Reb Moshe. The Mittel Rebbe, of course, was the Rebbe who was very nostalgic. Tzemach Tzedek was his successor. Reb Moshe had become a hidden tzaddik for reasons which are not relevant at the moment. But the Chaim Avram lived in Lubavitch. He spent his whole life in Lubavitch. Avram was a big tzaddik and a big goan, the Rebbe's son. He was tall with a very large forehead. He looked like the Alter Rebbe. And never said a word. Very quiet. He was a very, very, very tzniyazdik a person. I think the Alter Rebbe said he had an neshama from Elam HaMachshava. Tifa neshama. He was just there. When people came to Lubavitch, one of the treats was to look at him. Looked at him, he said, this is how the Alter Rebbe looked. He was a tzaddik who sat a whole day and a whole night, learned and davened and served Hashem. His nephew was the Rebbe. And although, of course, he was older than the Tzemach Tzedek by quite a few years, at least 12 or 13 years older, but the nephew was the Rebbe and the uncle was the chassid. And when the bris of the Rebbe Rash happened, so everybody came to the bris, and the Chaim Avraham was present at the bris as well. And, of course, they didn't have a caterer. They cooked. Who cooked? All the women. The Mittel Rebbe's Rebbetzin was still alive. This means the Rebbe Rash's grandmother. The Mittel Rebbe's mother, the Rebbetzin Chaim Mushke, could not participate. She just had a baby. But all of the daughters-in-law, and the daughters and the daughters-in-law, Tzemach Tzedek had seven sons and two daughters. The Mittel Rebbe had seven daughters and two sons. Tzemach Tzedek had seven sons and two daughters. They all participated. They had a big kitchen, and they cooked mamish for thousands of chassidim. Now, there had been a fire 2 years before. No, I don't know if it was a fire or not. Tzemach Tzedek decided to rebuild his home. I'm not sure if it was a fire, I forgot. And the governor had given special permission to take trees from the forests around Lubavitch, which belonged to him, and maybe even to expand the territory of the Tzemach Tzedek's home. And they built another new apartment, a new dirif, the name of the Tzemach Tzedek, with a shul and a sevaita. And it was unfinished. The Tzemach Tzedek was hoping that the shul would be finished for shuls. The Weile, in this unfinished home, they kept the Pesach Kelim. Pesach had just finished, right? Pesach was a week before, 2 weeks before. So they packed with the Pesach and they put him into the new house. It was a safe place to keep it. And the Rebbe Zechariah Mushke decides that the Rebbe Marash is going to be born in the new house. It wasn't finished. So when the Chevli Leida, when she realized that she's, in other words, when she went into labor, so she ran to that house. There was no bed. No place to lay down. They had what was called a zip bed. A zip bed means they used to sift flour in a sifter. But the sifter wasn't just a little sieve. It was a bed. It was very, very large. So she lay down on the zip bed. And this is where the Rebbe Marash was born. She used to say to the Rebbe Marash years later, Dira v'gahat av a zibbet. You know, you're not such a big person. You were born on a sifter, essentially. She wanted to give birth in the new home. And of course, when the Tzemach Tzedek heard that she was in labor, so he ran, and he stood facing the wall during the whole time of the delivery, and he had his son stand in a different room, and they said a whole bunch of kapitach tilam. I want you to know that the Rebbe spoke a sikha, especially that when a woman is having a baby, her husband should not be together with her in the room for purposes of tznius and halacha. But Tzemach Tzedek stood with his face to the wall, and his children were in a different room the whole time of the labor and delivery of the Rebbe Marash. When it came to the bris, so thousands of people, chassidim came, daven shachris, Sunday daven shachris, 7 o'clock in the morning, 7 in the morning, and they're waiting for the bris. The Tzemach Tzedek is not showing up. So they sat and waited. You sit for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, the conversation started. but you're talking about the Tzemach Tzedek's children who were tzaddikim and goyim and chassidim. So the conversation was a very chassidish conversation. It was a bringing type discussions, but nobody's eating. The food is sitting on the table and they're waiting. A half an hour passes, an hour passes, an hour and a half passes. It's 12 o'clock. Tzemach Tzedek is not making an appearance. You know what to do? At a certain point, the Tzemach Tzedek comes out of his room and he tells whoever it was, the business is going to be today. Don't worry, the business will be today. He goes back to his room. And a couple of hours more pass. At a certain point, much people were starving. So Machzer comes out of his room again and says, you could eat, wash and eat. The business will be today, but the vale, a whole day they're sitting and waiting. A whole day waiting for a business. To make a long story short, Rav Chaim Avraham was sitting there. This is the Machzer's uncle, Al Rebbe's Zun. And Kedaki HaBakadish, he wasn't saying a word. He was in his own thoughts. And everyone's talking. Again, they weren't talking politics or gossip. They were talking Tehid Chassidus. And one person says to another person, one of the Tzemach Tzedek's sons, says to his brother, I wonder what the Tate is doing, what our father is doing. Hatem Chaim Avraham HaKrecht Ketan. So Chaim Avraham sighed. And he said, "At his fanumen mitshenere kruim farun." He's busier with nicer guests than us, meaning to say that probably in his room the Alter Rebbe and the Mittler Rebbe are with him, and that's what he's doing. I'm Rama had this hearing issue. It wasn't until 4 o'clock in the afternoon that the Tzemach Tzedek came to the Bris. Before he came to the Bris, he went into his Rebbetzin, to Rebbetzin Chaim Mushke, to discuss the Kriyas Hashem, discuss the name. Remember, the Mittler Rebbe passed away 6 years before. Tzemach Tzedek doesn't have a Deiber, it's a big Pella, right? Tzemach Tzedek should have a son named after the Rebbe. He had a son, Shnei Zalman, who was born the year after Dr. Rebbe's Yistalkas. Mittler Rebbe passed away 6 years earlier. Of course, there were children who had, in other words, Tzemach Tzedek had a Niklach Deiber, but this is his son, born after Yistalkas of Mittler Rebbe. And when the Bris happened, and he gives the name Shmuel, the room gasped. Shmuel? Who ever heard of Shmuel? There's no Shmuel in the family. Not on this side, not on this side. Not parents, not grandparents, not great-grandparents. There are no friends of the family. There's no Chassidish Rebbe. It's totally, completely off the beat. Where did Shmuel come from? Nice name, Shmuel. And the father gives the name Shmuel. And the Chassidim, who was standing very close, hear the Tzemach Tzedek muttering something under his breath. He says something to himself. He says, "The polos kechevra kadish, takahele kechevra, abar afoyle kechevra." The Chevra Kaddish of Polotsk. Polotsk is a city in Europe. They're a Chevra Kaddish, a holy society. But they're a terribly lazy Chevra. That's what he says. Now, no one knows what he's talking about. After the Bris, they finally wash. They sit onto the Suda. Naturally, Tzemach Tzedek is going to say Chassidus. His son is born. And of course, the talk of the people is, where did the name Shmuel appear from? So finally, the Tzemach Tzedek's son, the Maril Midolev, the second of Tzemach Tzedek's children, who was the most famous as a Gon and a Chosid and a Tzaddik and a Oivid, says to his father, Tate, the Nomen Shmuel Dachnitaba uns in Familie. He says, Father, we don't have the name Shmuel in our family. Efshe noch Shmuel Anovi. Maybe you gave him a name after Shmuel Anovi. So the Tzemach Tzaddik says, Yichom, you gave him a Nomen noch Havasa Treger in Polotsk, he says. I named him after the water carrier in Polotsk. And he says, today two Yidden died in Polotsk. Now remember, in those days there's no telephone, there's no email, there's no fax machine, there wasn't even a telegraph. He says, today two Yidden passed away in Polotsk. A rich Jew and the water carrier. The water carrier, says the Tzemach Tzedek, knew by heart the Shas Bavli and the Yerushalmi and the Sefro and the Sefri and the Mechilton or the Medroshim and Zeyar and all Sefri Kabbalah. He knew he was a Tzadik Gomur, a Tzadik Nister. He carried water. But nobody knew. So when he passed away, so they made two levayas. One levaya was attended by the whole community. A rich Jew gave lots of tzedakah. It was a levaya with his spadim. The levaya finished 3 o'clock. And all this time, this water carrier remained sat in the bezdin in the shtibah of the chaver kaddisha. Abi Allah, you can't name somebody after somebody till they're buried, till the steam is agelo. So Tzedek is sitting in his room, watching the events in Polotsk. He's waiting for the levaya brush. That's why he didn't come till 4 o'clock, because they finally laid him to rest at 4. So Tzemach Tzedek mutters under his breath that the holy, the Chevra Kaddisha of Polotsk, they're holy, but they're lazy. Because the whole day Tzemach Tzedek was waiting for the Levayim, the Levekling, and this Tzaddik, whom the Tzemach Tzedek chose to name his son after. Now I want to tell you, Avot, that I don't necessarily believe it's connected to this hidden tzaddik, the water carrier of Polotsk. But nevertheless, I want to tell you this here, Avot. That by Tzemach Tzedek, there was Yechidus. Tzemach Tzedek had all of Russia was Chassidim. Tzemach Tzedek was a king. All of Russia was Chassidim. And he had Yechidus, whatever it was, three times a week, five times, I don't know how often he had Yechidus. But for some reason, by the Tzemach Tzedek, Yechidus was pushy. There was the Chassidim who waited outside the Rebbe's room to go into the Rebbe, used to push. By the Rebbe, there was a list. You registered, your name was on the list, and you went in according to the order of the list. But Tzemach Tzedek, upon him, there was no order. So people pushed. And if you were stronger, you got in first. It was that simple. And it seemed very strange. The Chassidim have to fight their way into Yechidus, a mud nizar. So somebody once asked the Tzemach Tzedek, how come he has by Yechidus, Ameshtubtzach? It's a Yechidus of the Tzemach Tzedek, people are pushing. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, Ado kum tayid. Was ir daf emer vi ermir. There's a Jew who comes here, he says. I need him more than he needs me. A tzaddik nistar upon him. And he comes, and he pushes, and he pushes, and he pushes, till he gets to the door, and they throw him back to the wall. And he pushes, and he pushes, and he pushes, and he pushes. He doesn't tell anybody who he is. And until he finally gets into me. The reason I set up that people should push the Yechidus is because there's people who come to me that you don't have to know who they are. So the whole system of pushing was that these tzaddikim and nistarim should visit the Tzemach Tzedek. I'm not saying necessarily that this water carrier visited the Tzemach Tzedek, but this is the fact that Tzemach Tzedek named his son Marash after Avasa Treger in Polot. And then the Tzemach Tzedek says that it says in Pasuk, Yimeish Meisenu Bohem Shivim Shana, that the years of a person's life are 70 years. If a person is very strong, they live 80 years. And then Tzemach Tzedek said, Abbas is da de cheshbim from bohem. A person's years is set. The Pasuk says, right, you say Shabbos. You may say, no, bohem. Shivim shon, if a person lives 70 years, if they're strong, they live 80 years. Tzemach Tzedek says, but there's also a cheshbim of bohem. Bohem is 47. And the Tzemach Tzedek sighed. The Manash passed away at 47. The Manash was nostalgic. He says, now I understand what my father said by the Briz, Bohem. The Manash as a child had been very, very ill. His blood had some kind of white pus in it. He was very sick. And so Tzedek says, I wish he should live as long as Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi lived 52 years. In other words, Tzedek realized that the Manash was not a healthy person. And Lepayel, he didn't live 52 years, he lived until his 47th year. In other words, he passed away 56 and change, he passed away, the Marash. The Marash was the youngest of the Tzemach Tzedek's children, and he was everybody's favorite. From very, very early on, people realized that this is something else. How brilliant he was, how smart he was not shaykhins for the average person to know. What people loved about him was he was extremely precocious. He was very, very self-confident. Mamish is a little boy, 2, 3, 4 years old. Thousands of chassidim are waiting and sitting around. He walked right in. He was very comfortable. He was never self-conscious. He was never uncomfortable because there were large crowds or there were big chassidim. He talked to everybody and anybody. And he became mamish part of the visit. People came to Lubavitch. You went to look for the Mreb Nzun. You went to look for this youngest, the Ben Zikunim of the Rebbe. Everybody loved him. He was very, very friendly, very open, and brilliant. He was so smart. He was a pleasure to talk to. And people had all kinds of conversations with him. People had relationships with him. The Rebbe Manash actually described how one time there was a big Fabrengen, and all the Chassidim were dancing. So he says, I danced also. I looked over, see my nephew, says the Rebbe Manash, who was 4 years older than him, is watching me, and he wishes he could also join the Chassidim, but he was embarrassed. And I could see how jealous he was of the Marash. The Marash was a very, very confident, comfortable little boy. And he was brilliant. I mean, brilliant, there's no words to describe how smart he was. Tzaddik Tzadzun, Tzaddik's successor. Tater just stuck to him like a magnet. It was effortless. Ad Kedekach, to tell you a story, there was a cheder Who was in the cheder? The Tzemach Tzedek's children. The Malamed was paid by the Tzemach Tzedek himself, and the cheder Tzemach Tzedek's children. So he had in one class the Reb Marash with a bunch of his nephews. The point was that the nephews were 4 years older than him, 3 years older than him, 2 years older. He was seven, they were 10 or 11, you understand? And the Rashi would sit in the class and he would call his nephews dumbbells, the pieces of wood. Now these kids became Rebbes later. These were no ordinary children. These were geniuses. But next to the Reb Marash, the Reb Marash say that Hiltzen Ekep, his nephews, who would later become famous Chassidish Rebbes, Hiltzen Ekep, brains of wood, because his intelligence was beyond them incomparably. And whenever there was a discussion in the cheder about Teire, the Malamed always sided with Reb Marash, because he was always right. And the nephews were very hurt. I'm 11, he's 7, how come he's always right and I'm always wrong? So it happened one day that the Malamed asked a question and nobody knew the answer. The Marash is sitting in the back of the room and he's playing with his watch. The Marash was very, very good with his hands and he was very technically gifted. He, for many years, used to carve things, you know, out of wood or clay. I'll get to this momentarily. And he liked to play with machines. He took his watch apart and put it back together. He was sitting, let's push it board. And he says, "Ich weiß, aber ich sag nicht." I know the answer, I'm not going to say. And he says, "It's my fault that they're dumb. Let them figure it out." So his brother, the Maril, came to the cheder. The Maril was a proud 30. The Marash was about 7. You understand? They were brothers. And he comes into the cheder and he complains to the Malamed. How come the Malamed always sides with his brother and not with his son, who was 11? 10, 11, whatever it was, there were a bunch of kids in the class. All of them were the Tzemach Tzedek's children. They were geniuses. This was not a normal cheder. This was, you know, future Rebbes. So the Madil is making this here complaint. How come, he's old? So the Marash is sitting in the back of the room, playing with his watch. And his brother's complaining to the Malamed that his son is older than the Marash. So as he's playing with his watch, he says, "Azevid the Balagola, patient the Balagola zokt, was greser the hint not mer fed." He says, "The bigger you are, the more fed." In other words, he wasn't nispal from the fact that his nephew was older than him. So the Maril turns to the Marash and says, "Oh, a hozenik, a chutzpenik. No respect for your older brother." They were brothers. It says in Teire, "Kavod es avicha v'simecha." And we learn from the S, "L'rabba zechicha gadol." So the Reb Marash retorts, the S from "Kavod es avicha v'simecha," this one you remember. But the S of "Es Hashem alakecha tira," this you forgot. What's "Es Hashem alakecha tira"? "L'rabba tamid chachovim." The Rosh is 7 years old. He says, "You have to have that chedz because I'm a Talmud Chach." That's like when the Reb Marash, of kind. You should know, our Rebbes were different. Some of our Rebbes were never children. Never. They were just always grown up. The Marash, and there were a couple of others, was a child. And as a child, he had a lot of fun. He was always the Rebbe. He was a tzaddik. He was an atzmi. But at the same time, he could get into trouble, the Marash. This is just the story of the Rebbe Marash's childhood. The Rebbe Marash had issues with dexterity. He had issues with his fingers. In other words, his ability to feel. As a child yet, he developed a hobby of carving. He got these very fine carving tools and he used to buy clay and wood, you know, blocks. And he would create very, very intricate and delicate and beautiful jewelry, artifacts. He did it as a hobby, I suppose, but later on he needed to push it for medical purposes. It was very important for him to use his fingers. So he would carve all these beautiful, beautiful, very, very intricate, I don't know what it, trinkets was. In the Beis Medrash in Lubavitch, they had these beautiful chandeliers, several of them, that were handmade by the Rebbe Marash. You understand? The Rebbe Marash, as a Rebbe, made Megillus Esther, for each one of his sons and son-in-laws. Which he wrote, he wrote it himself. There are 6 Megillos of the Rebbe Marash that he made himself, because he needed to work with his hands. in the Rebbe's room, I don't know if you guys have been in the Rebbe's room, but when next time you visit the Rebbe's room, you'll notice, you know where the Rebbe's desk is, right? To the left of the Rebbe's desk, in the corner, there is a round table that's always covered with a tablecloth. That table, the Rebbe Maharash made with his own hands. It's a handmade table. It's probably gorgeous. The craftsmanship is probably the Rebbe Maharash. It's extra, extraordinary. When the Rebbe was in France in 1947 to pick up his mother, so a chassid gave it to him and said, please bring it some Friedrich Rebbe. So the Rebbe brought it back. He dismantled it. He put it on the ship. He brought it to New York. I forgot to carry it upstairs. It stayed in his room, and it's still there. Adi Yemazet. It's a table that Rebbe Maharash made the muyad with his own hands. And as a kid, he always had these knives, these carving knives. And as I mentioned to you before, there were these chassidim who favored Rebbe Maharash. He was a very likable kid. So one of these chassidim, who was a business person, used to travel. And he knew that Rebbe Maharash likes to do this handiwork, this craftsmanship, this pottery. So when he was in Germany, he bought him the best carving knife there was, with many, many gadgets and trinkets and different, you know, shapes, knives and so forth. It's expensive. It was a good piece. You couldn't get it in Russia. And he brought it to Lubavitch. When it came to Lubavitch, he goes over to the Rebbe Maharash. I think he was 5 or 6 at the time. And he put his hand in his pocket. He pulls out this beautiful knife. It's, you know, it's, he says, open it up. There's so many gadgets, so many possibilities. You can do so many things with it. And he's showing it to the Rebbe Maharash. And as he's showing it to him, he says, I brought this knife for you. You can have it. If you can answer me one question. Who is the Rebbe Shter? Where is God? So the Rebbe Maharash put his hand in his pocket and he pulls out his meager little pocket knife. His knife doesn't have as many gadgets. He's opening it up. And without looking up, he says to this Yid, when du kennst das haben, eib du wirst mir sagen, wo is nicht. And you can have my knife if you can tell me where he isn't. Now, the Rebbe Maharash had his bar mitzvah in Tafrei Zayin, right? He was born in 1834, so his bar mitzvah was 1847. The following year, 1848, he got married. I think he got married 7 times. Who did he marry? He married his niece. He married the Chaim Shneur Zalman's daughter. Chaim Shneur Zalman was the 4th of the Tzemach Tzedek's children, and he was guy that the biggest gaon, the biggest lamed, and he married her. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a pamphlet called Harabonis Rivka. Wait, listen. This pamphlet was printed, was found in Russia. The Friedrich Eber wrote an entire biography of his mother, of his grandmother, after she passed away. And in that biography, it's written that when the Rebbe Maharash had to get married, there were 2 nieces. There was a competition upon him. There were 2 nieces. Each one of their fathers wanted the Shidduch, the Ravash, which is the Rebbe Zayde, and the Chaim Shneur Zalman. Chaim Shneur Zalman got the Shidduch. Tzemach Tzedek had a policy. He wanted his children living in Lubavitch. He didn't want to leave it. But he wanted them to be personalities. He didn't want them to be as a fakvetched. So when each one of them got married, he built them a house on a street. I mean, Lubavitch was not very large, but Chvesvos, quarter of a mile away, half a mile away. And next to the house, a shul, a bismedrish. So each one of the Timothetic's children had their own gimzukt program. When Chassidim came to Lubavitch, they would of course visit the Rebbe and hear Chassidus, but they all had a favorite. Which one of the Rebbe's zin, the Rebbe's sons, they liked. And whichever one you liked, that's who you used to go hang out with. To hear Chazare, when you had Yechidus from Tzemach Tzedek. So then you would go to the Rebbe's zund, the Rebbe's son, to help you understand what Yechidus meant. So each chassid would go, this one went to the Ravash, this one went to the Maril, this one went to the Marin, this one went to the Marshaz. They each one had their own favorites. This is how it was. When the Rebbe Rash got married, Tzemach Tzedek built him a house in a Beis Medrash on one of the streets of Lubavitch. The Rebbe Maharash was a secret, was sealed like a book bound on both sides. He was brilliant. He was extremely, extremely personable. But he never opened his mouth. Nobody knew what he knows. It was a big mystery. Huh? Only when he was younger. I mean, he opened his mouth later, but not in Teda. No one knew what he knows in Teda. He was sealed. shortly after he got married, he started to travel. And said Gehazi that he's traveling on business. The kid was 14 years old, mind you. And he was involved in investments and in stocks. Everybody looked at him. He's the modern of the Tzemach Tzedek's children. He's a businessman. 14-year-old, 15-year-old. Good business. Okay, he's a businessman. But this is what happened. They got married. They had Sheva Brachas. Right after Sheva Brachas, his Rebbetzin got sick. And she passed away 3 months later. She passed away. If he was 14, she was probably 15. She was probably a little older, but they were kids. Huh? No. After Sheva Brachas, she got sick. 3 months later she passed away. The Rebbe Marash was absolutely devastated. He was unconsolable. The Marash was a tzaddik. And Zivik Rishon, the first wife, this is Mamish one neshama. The Gemara says, Mizbeach Gerdlo, the Mois, a first wife, Ishas Norim. He lost his first wife. He was absolutely devastated. He was so broken that nothing that Tzemach Tzedek could tell him consoled him. He was out of his mind. He was very upset. Tzemach Tzedek wanted him to come out of this avelus. So he brought builder architects and they built an attachment to his own home, to Tzemach Tzedek's house, in what was called the chaser, the courtyard. So they built essentially a duplex, another half of the house, another wing. The house was attached, separate only by a door. And he moved the Rebbe Marash into his own din. He should live next door. And this way, the Tzemach Tzedek personally, possibly was Menachem the Rebbe Marash. They spent a lot of time together. They learned. The other brothers had no idea how much time they spent together. The following year, the Rebbe Marash got married again. And he stayed in that apartment. He didn't move back to the house that had been built for him in the beginning. And the result of this was that the Rebbe Marash's children, who were much, much younger than their cousins, when the Rebbe Marash's children were born, their cousins were all parents. You understand what I'm saying? But they had a deeper relationship with the Tzemach Tzedek than their cousins, because they lived Pashat in the same house. When the Tzemach Tzedek was not well, they Pashat took care of him. That means the Rebbe Rashab and the Razor, their sister Dveira Leah, and older sister, the Rebbe Marash's children, because they lived in the same house, they had a very special connection to the Tzemach Tzedek. This is what happened. Rebbe Marash got married to the Rebbe Tzinifke. Who was Rebbe Tzinifke? The Rebbe Tzinifke was the Mittler Rebbe Zaneinikon. She was a granddaughter of the Mittler Rebbe. She had an older sister whose name was Gittel. The two of them were orphaned, Nebuch. The two of them were orphaned. The Rebbe Mittler Rebbe had a daughter named Sora. She had two Soras. The Mittler Rebbe had two Soras. His oldest daughter was Sora, and his youngest daughter was Sora, because the older one had passed away. This youngest daughter, Sora, married a Yid whose name was Rabbi Aaron Alexander of Zeta Gehesen, Rabbi Aaron. The two of them, this couple, Harabon and Sara, the Mittler Rebbe's daughter, and this Rebbe Aaron, they were not only tzaddikim, they were pashut adinei nefesh. They were like souls without bodies. They were so pure, so pristine. And his parents were extraordinary chassidim. His mother was especially profound. His mother, that means the Mittler Rebbe's mechutenester, was such an unusual woman that the Tzemach Tzedek used to consult her. She was a bardav godel. She was a brilliant, special, a tifa and a shaman. And when the two of them died, Mittler Rebbe's daughter, Sara, and her husband, Tabaran, and they left two little girls. One was 7, and one was 9, and one was 8, and one was 10, very little. When they died, Rebbe Aaron's father was very, very upset. So his wife says to him, Was, the licht, was mir am gehalten, b'shas mod gefiert, und der Sohn zu der Gruppe mit den Rebens jüngste Tochter, hast du halt, und die licht hast du nicht halt. She says to her husband, the candles that we held when we took our son to the Gruppe with the youngest daughter of the Rebbe you like, and these candles, the yardside candles, you don't like. In other words, this is neshama candles, this is the kind of woman she was. She's a giantess. This was Rebbe Tzinifke's grandmother, paternal grandmother. And two little girls were left in the world on that tate and on that mama, with neither father nor mother. The Rebbe Tzinifke used to say, I had such a wonderful childhood, because she grew up in a house. It wasn't just a house of tzaddikim. It was a pure, they were so pure. And now they're both gone. And she says, as much as my early childhood had been wonderful, my later childhood was a disaster. It was devastating. I closed up. and they had nobody in the world except my sister. The two of them became inseparable. They lived, there was nothing in the world except one another. And they were adopted by their grandmother, their maternal grandmother, the Mittel Rebbe's Rebbe's, and Shainu was still alive. And she adopted them. And she raised them. When the Rebbe Menashe lost his first wife, she didn't have the chutzpah upon him to ask for the first of it, because b'chalal, the shidduchim were made when they were infants. The Rebbe Menashe shidduch was probably made when he was a few years old. But Nebuch, his first zivik was nostalgic. So the Rebbe Zishena came to her son-in-law, the Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe. And she said, Yechvil, Adzof Nemen, Einef, and Sarah's Techter. I want you to take one of Sarah's daughters for the Rebbe Menashe. So the Tzemach Tzedek was a businessman. He says to his shvigah, to his mother-in-law, the Mittel Rebbe's Rebbetzin, he says to her, Ich habe ein Zoll für ein Schiddich von Dubrovne für 30.000 Rubel. Was gibst du? Have an offer for a Shidduch for 30,000 rubles. 30,000 rubles then is like $10 million. It's a guzman mit Geld. It's unimaginable. What are you offering? She doesn't have 30,000 rubles. She doesn't have 30 rubles. So she says, I can't offer you money. So Tzemach Tzedek says, so what do you want? Abed, he says, Ich habe keches von Eishes Chover, he says. I have the powers as Eishes Chover. She was married to the Mittel Rebbe 30 years. She was married to the Mittel Rebbe more than 30 years. But that's what she said, 30 years. Ich bin great abzugeben 30 Jahre Eches Chavak Echavak. I'm prepared to give him 30 years of Eches Chavak Echavak. The wife of a Rebbe is like a Rebbe. I'm prepared to give that to him. Tzemach Tzedek says, you got a deal. He liked that. So they agreed to the Shidduch. And there's a very, very detailed description in this book called Rabbanu Sifka, which has been translated in English, by the way, by a woman named Malka. I forgot her last name. But you can get it in English. How this was a younger daughter, a younger sister. The Tzemach Tzedek chose the younger sister. But the Tzemach Tzedek was very sensitive. Gittel Pasha physically pushed her younger sister that she should go to the Tnoim, because the Tzemach Tzedek didn't want to hurt her feeling. And Tzemach Tzedek asked that she should be Moichel. She should allow her younger sister to go before her, which she did with her whole heart. Tzemach Tzedek promised her that he'll find for her also a very good chosen, which he did, but that other chosen was not a Rebbe. I'm sure he was a very fine Jew, Abba Kein Rebbe, then Yishgevet. Tzemach Tzedek took the younger daughter for the Rebbe Menashe, Rebbe Tzedivke. In any case, when it came to the day of the chasana, so the Rebbe Tzedivke, Rebbe Tzedivke, the middle Rebbe Tzedivke, she was the matriarch. She was the oldest woman in the family. So she was in charge of all the arrangements. She was the caterer. You understand? All the girls got together. All the women and the daughters. There were many of them. In the family alone, there may have been 30 or 40 young women. And they fed all the chassidim who came to the chasana. And she's standing in the kitchen with her apron. And of course she didn't exactly look like she was going to a wedding. She looked like a caterer. And she's telling people what to do. She was not a young lady. At this point she was at least 80 years old. At least. She was at least 80 years old. And she's in charge. Tzemach Tzedek called Rebbe Menashe. He says, Gei yetz to the Babi on Betel Abrach. Go to your grandmother right now and ask her for a brach. So he walks into the kitchen, the chassan. How old was Rebbe Menashe? He was on Erech 15. And he says, Ich bin gekommen, ich habe gesagt, Babi, ich bin gekommen, at the Babi zol me geben de brach. She had promised to give him a brach. He wants it. So he looks at him and says, Was macht sich narisch? Look at me. Look how I look. Look at my hands. You know, I got my hands full of chvetidvos. Fad the chuppah. Before the chuppah, I'll get dressed. And I'll wash my hands. I'll give you the bracha. So he goes back to his father, and he says to his father that the Baba said that before the chuppah, that Tzemach Tzedek said, Nein yetzt. Right now. Why, I don't know, but this is the story. So he marches back into the kitchen, and he comes to the Baba, and he says, The tata gezok yetzt. My father said, right now. She had seven daughters. The Mittel Rebbe had seven daughters. They were very outspoken women. The Mittel Rebbe's daughters were not shy. They were sharp as razors. They inherited from her. She was a sharp of three. The Mittel Rebbe's Rebbetzin was very sharp. And she says, what kind of nonsense is this? It's ridiculous. Cut it out, you know what I'm saying? So the Rebbe Menashe just stood there. A kitchen full of women. A chosn, the day of his chosn, he's not moving. He's standing. He stands and he says, how long is she going to let him stand there? She says, okay, you're so stubborn. So she went. She washed her hands. She put her holy hands on his head. And she gave him a bracha. And then she said, Dreisik yor. She was married to the Mittel Rebbe probably 40 years. I don't know why she said 30. the 30 yard Eishes Chaver Gibbe Chabdir. The 30 years Eishes Chaver Gibbe, I'm giving to you. You couldn't give the Rebbe Marash a bigger gift than this. The Rebbe sits in the middle. The Rebbe says to her grandson, "I'm giving it all to you." It's like Gevaldik Gebrach. And the Rebbe Marash got married. The Rebbe Tzinitzke used to tell the Friedeke Rebbe that her husband, the Rebbe Marash, she says, "When my parents died, I stopped living. And when I got married, I started living again." She says, "My husband was not only my husband, he was my teacher." And there was a very special connection between the Rebbe Marash and the Rebbe Tzinitzke. The respect that they had for each other was absolutely crazy. Mom, you have no idea. It was not normal. And the Rebbe Marash was involved in every detail of how she ran the home. The Rebbe Marash discussed everything with her and told her how everything should be done, how the children should be raised. From infancy, the connection, the way they worked together as a couple, was mamish unbelievable. The Friedeke, they had six kids, okay? And they weren't stam six kids, they were personalities. Nobody ever screamed in that house. Do you imagine a house with six children, nobody screams? The house with no kids, people scream. There was such a calm, such a peaceful, such an unusual home, because the Marash taught her. That's what she used to say. The Marash taught her how she should build a home, how she should develop relationships. It was an unbelievably respectful marriage and an unbelievably respectful home. And this is how it was. As I mentioned to you before, a few years after his marriage, he was a teenager still, the Marash was traveling on business. And the rumor is, so Machzadik has seven sons, so he's entitled to have one modern one. No. So Rebbe Marash was not traveling on business. Rebbe Marash was traveling in Askonis Tziburis. There was all kinds of tzaddis. And the Tzemach Tzedek was involved in everything. But the Tzemach Tzedek did not want to do things directly for various reasons. Most importantly, was he was pushed on Masmid Nifla. Tzemach Tzedek's diligence in Teda was not from this world. So Rebbe Marash became his liaison. Now remember, Tzemach Tzedek had seven sons. His oldest children at this point were in their 50s. And he's sending his 18-year-old bachar. Because the Tzemach Tzedek knew that this is different. Instead of Marash. And the Marash used to travel a lot. Nobody knew why he's traveling. Everybody thought he was traveling on business. And upon him he did business also. Because the Marash made a lot of money. I heard from a very good source that the Marash two or three times won federal lotteries. They used to have lottery, you know, like you have in America. What do they call it? The lottery. There's another word they use. So the Rebbe Marash, several times he won the lottery. A lot of money. Millions of dollars, you know. In fact, they found the Tzemach Tzedek also used to buy lottery tickets. And they found the opinion from the Tzemach Tzedek where he writes, "Yehiratzen, that my son should win the lottery and not me." And the Rebbe Marash won several lotteries. He was very, very wealthy. And he lived lavishly, he lived like a king in Lubavitch as a very young man. He had to have the largest homes. He used to import from all over the world the finest and the best in everything, furniture, doors, windows, the rugs, everything was not better than anybody else. It was palatial. It was completely out of place in Lubavitch, and people viewed it as very, very strange. It was a very funny thing. But the Rebbe Marash is going to eat pnimi. He was a ruchni. He's the only Rebbe. By the Helik Erushin, the whole family lived like kings. The only Chabad Rebbe that adopted this derech of melucha, being mamish royal, was the Rebbe Marash. In fact, when he was a Rebbe, he stopped already. With the Rebbe, he was not rich anymore. But there was a tkuf in his life where he was very, very involved. His gashmis was absolutely the highest could possibly be. It was a eat pnimi. It was a ruchni zdeke inyan. There's a story that happened with the Rebbe yet, that Masnagid met one of the Miramarash Chassidim. This is the Rebbe Zayde, Rebbe Shlema, the Rebbe's maternal grandfather, was a Yeshiv in Lubavitch, and somebody once asked him, "How you talk and your Rebbe lives like so gashmi is there?" So he tells him, the Gemara says that the world was not worthy to have gold, and the only reason gold was created was for the Beis HaMikdash. He tells him, "Petach, petach, in Hayitikin Dor, for them is gold Mashafan Gemund." In this generation, fool, he tells him, in this generation, for whom was gold created, if not for the Rebbe? For the Marash is fit and a Gvaldik Eifin of Ashiras. He lived in a very, very rich way, extremely wealthy. And he bought the best furniture in the world. The best, everything was the best, the best, the best. In fact, one of the Chassidim, the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek, his father, had on, you know what I mean? He had unfinished furniture. His chairs and tables were plain wood. They weren't finished. Didn't have any stain, didn't have any paint. His bookshelves were like raw wood. So one chassid felt bad for the Tzemach Tzedek. He had money, so he ordered from Italy beautiful, beautiful furniture. And he brought it as a gift to the Tzemach Tzedek. He shipped it to Lubavitch, which was a major schlep, a major tirche. And he brought the Tzemach Tzedek and said, Rabbi, I brought you a gift. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, Ir dafes nish, give it Shmuel. I don't need it. Give it to the Rebbe Marash. Er dafes. He needed it. Because by the Rebbe Marash, his involvement in Gashmis was a ganzer inyan. Now, you got to go and I got to. I just want to tell you one final story. As I mentioned, the Rebbe Marash Lassach Gifford, and he traveled in Askonis for the Tzemach Tzedek. And one of his many trips away from Lubavitch, he passed by Belz in Galicia, the city of Belz. At that time, the Belz Rebbe was the holy, the first Belz Rebbe of Shalom Belz. He was a very, very big tzaddik, and he was blind. He was a saginor. And the Rebbe Marash says to himself, I'm passing by Belz, I got to go and see the holy Belz. The Belz Rebbe were very, very, there were four Belz Rebbe. They were very, very holy tzaddikim. And there was a very deep derecheret from the Lubavitch Rebbeim to the Belz Rebbe. This story I'm about to tell you repeated itself exactly twice. So the Rebbe Marash walked into Belz. How did Rebbe Marash look? Bechlal in Russia, they weren't so into the chitzenius. So the Rebbe Marash looked like a businessman. A chassidish, a modern business person. The Belz chassidim looked a lot holier than him, the chitzenius. They have these long payas, the Rebbe Marash didn't have payas, Mistam. Huh? Of course. Kolshkin v'kal v'chema, we're not getting more religious. So, the Halakha Belz walks into the Beis Medrash. He's being, someone is walking with him, he can't see. He walks into the Beis Medrash and he shakes off the hand that's holding his and he starts to walk in the direction of the Marash. He's blind. The Marash sees that someone's coming at him, he starts to sneak out of the Beis Medrash and the Belz Rebbe is chasing him. The Marash is running away, lift him up. So the Chassidim realize that the Belz Rebbe is running after this stranger and he's running away. So they grabbed him and they held him. And the Belz Rebbe comes over to him. He gives him shalom. And says, Where bist thee? Who are you? So the Rebbe Marash says, a businessman. So the Belz Rebbe tells him, Yinga man fin ins behalt man sich nicht. He says, Young man, you can't hide from us. The way the Belz Rebbe tells the story, that he wants that he should give the Belz Rebbe Chassidim Shirayim. In Chabad, we don't give Shirayim. But by Belz Rebbe Chassidim, Galatim, they give Shirayim. Cake, food, and Chassidim. So the Marash says, I should give Shirayim. I can give them lessons in stocks and bonds. I can't give them Shirayim. So the Belz Rebbe says to him, listen, if I will teach you the Soyed of Shirayim, teach you the mystical secret of Shirayim, will you agree to give my Chassidim Shirayim? So the Marash says, that's a deal. So the Belz Rebbe leaned over. And he spoke to him for 3 seconds. That's what I heard. I heard this from a Belzer. And he said 3,000 words in 3 seconds, and the Rebbe Marash heard them all. And the Rebbe Marash gave the Belzer Chassidim Shirai. When he came back to Lubavitch, he told this whole thing to his father, to the Rebbe Tzemach Tzedek. And Tzemach Tzedek said, Was hast du getracht? Von a offene Baruch HaKedish hast du getracht, dich zu behalten? You thought to hide from a man who has open Ruach HaKedish? In conclusion, I want to tell you another story. In 1937, the Belzer Rebbe, the great-grandson of this Belzer Rebbe, the fourth Belzer Rebbe, visited Berlin. 1932. And the Rebbe was in Berlin, who was the great-grandson of the Rebbe Marash through marriage. And the Rebbe says to an acquaintance of his, I want to go see the Belzer Rebbe. And when he talked about the Belzer Rebbe, this person would say later that he saw that the Rebbe has for the Belzer. The Belzer Rebbe was something very special. Mamish, the Helika Belzer. And he says to this friend of his, but you can't tell the Belzer who I am. I'll tell the Belzer Rebbe who I am. So they went. The Belzer Rebbe is sitting with his head down. He looks like he's sleeping. You understand? Looks like he's sleeping. And he has around his hand a tichel, a kerchief, so nobody could touch his actual hand. And his hand is extended. And one by one, the chassidim are going by and shaking his hand. Every hand that touches his, you know, he reads them like a computer printout. You know, the past, the present, the future. The Belzer Rebbe was a baruch kodesh nifla. He saw everything. But he looks like he's pushed asleep. He looks like he's sleeping. And the chassidim are filing by. He's going to sit down today. Anyway, this person is behind the Rebbe. The Rebbe's turn comes. The Bel Rebbe takes off the kerchief, picks up his holy eyes, takes a look at the Rebbe, shakes his hand, puts his kerchief back on, and goes back to sleep. This is the way the story was told in the Living Torah. They get an exact version. So the Bel Chassidim wanted to know, who's that guy? Who's that guy? So this fellow who was with him told him, this is the Edim of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Rebbe said the deal was that you know, tell him who I am. But in other places the story is brought that the Belz Rebbe himself asked him, Verbisti, who are you? And the Rebbe didn't respond. So this other fellow said, this is the Edim from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Had the Belz Rebbe azogeton, yo, he was there. I see. Almost 20 years later, the Rebbe became a Rebbe. And by this point, this Belzer Rebbe was also blind. All the Belzer Rebbe suffered with their eyes. And the Rebbe, the Gezun Zayn, sent a letter, L'chol o'admoirim shlita. He wrote a letter to all the Rebbes. This is 1951, Vitas Kislev. The Rebbe was not even officially a Rebbe yet. He was still before Yud Shvat. And he wrote a letter, L'chol o'admoirim. And such a letter reaches the Helika Belzerov. The Helika Belzerov, the Battle of Belzer, who was there in his 70s. The Gabbai of the Baal Zerov, his name was Fogel. I think his first name was Anshul. I forget his first name. And he comes in today, the Baal Zerov, laughing. Anaya Yinge Rebbe from America, Gishigdem Rebbe Mabriv, a new Rebbe, a new young Rebbe from America, not Ivri Evid, sent the Rebbe a letter. He was laughing that Rebbe can tell the Baal Zerov what to do. And the blind Baal Zerov says, Anshul, Tzi, Tzirik, Tishpil, Sachmet, Fayez. The Rebbe wasn't even at Rebbe yet. He says, take back what you just said, you're playing with fire. The Bel Rebbe knew the Rebbe. Why? Because he shook his hand 20 years before. It just gives you an idea that Tzaddik and Gemurim don't need to spend a lot of time together to get to know each other. The same story repeated itself twice. Anyway, we're out of time.